Pastor Al Stone, welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Welcome to church this morning. I hope you had a great week. Hope you were able to accomplish something in the line of work that you have and for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a lesson this morning on getting the right ghost. Getting the right ghost. As we say in Canada, ghost. Getting the right ghost, eh? Somebody said, you don't have much of an accent. I lived in the States for 5 years. I watched way too much American television. And I'm married to an American girl. So I've lost a little bit of my out and about Canada accent. So it comes back. If I'm talking to another Canadian, we get a little more A's in there. But this naturally doesn't sometimes come. So give you that. Getting the right ghost. We've looked at a potential of power from the Holy Spirit of God over the last couple days that seems to elude us today. How do we get that power of God? How do we have that movement of God in our lives that we've seen in past? Chad and I were just talking about England. England used to be a great force of the gospel, was the greatest mission sending agent of the world. And today, I believe less than 20% of its population goes to church. We've seen in many countries where other religions have come into a country and have almost silenced Christianity, and that's sad. We have a great opportunity in our Christianity to invite and to bring others into Christianity when they come to our countries, and sometimes we miss that. We'd like to think we're not prejudiced, but we are. We are. We like our lifestyle. We like the way we've done things. We like our history. And we're afraid that maybe bringing others into those things will mess it up, where we need to bring them in and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I see in our text another reason why many today who name the name of Christ are maybe not seeing the incredible power of the Holy Ghost that we would like to see. I asked on Friday night, how many have seen that movement of God in a country or in a church or even in our own lives? And many of us had to attest that we've not seen some of that incredible power of the Holy Ghost that others have maybe seen in other times. And I believe this may be part of the reason as well. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Would you agree with me today that there are many false prophets in the world today? If so, say amen. Amen. I agree. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Very simple. Verse 3. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist." We all know that word. We're drawing close to it. "Whereof ye have heard that it should come," and we're drawing close. "And even now, already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Do you have the right ghost? There are in this group today, in this auditorium, those who have maybe no idea who the Holy Ghost is. Maybe you're newly saved. Maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you've never had any lengthy teaching and preaching on who the Holy Ghost is, what his function is in our lives. Most of us would know his name, but maybe not the intent of that Holy Ghost. There are some that think they do have the Holy Ghost. "I'm living a pretty good life. I go to church. I'm here this morning in an early session. And so I must have the Holy Ghost." There are some that are being controlled by what they believe is the Holy Ghost, but it's not really the Holy Ghost. And I believe that is sweeping across what many would say Christianity is today. And then finally, there are some here today, and I believe the bulk of this crowd, the majority of this crowd, who actually do have and know the Holy Ghost of God. And if you have him today, if you've experienced him in your life today, you will know it. You will know it. I kind of like that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion to me is people trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they got saved. They got changed. There was a difference. They walked away from the old things of this life. Old things passed away. They weren't perfect. They were growing in the things of grace. They were putting some things aside as it went. But there was an obvious marked change in their lives. When I was a kid, 9 years of age, trusted Christ as my Savior. I can tell you the place. I can tell you the smells. I can tell you the furniture. I can tell you what was said. I can tell you how excited I was. I can tell you I had to wait 2 weeks to get baptized, and it absolutely killed me because I wanted people to know that I got saved. And when I got saved as a kid, I was an introverted kind of kid. I was a quiet kind of kid. When I got saved, something happened, and things began to change in my life. I don't see that in a lot of people who are naming Christ today. I don't see it. I want to see that conversion. I want to see that Holy Spirit upon them. And I think the problem is that people are saying they're getting saved, but their idea and understanding of salvation is not the Bible salvation. It's not a repentance of sin and turning away. It's not giving up that old life of sin. It's simply saying, I want to try something different. I want the experience of Christianity. I want to go and make friends and people that are nice people in a place where there's happiness. We were sitting in the little restaurant area of the motel where we're staying. And by the way, Pastor, thank you very much for putting us up in that beautiful place. And that garden shed is very comfortable. And it was nice. And no, very lovely room. Thank you. And taking us out. He's treated us so well. And so this lady was talking today to this gentleman. And the gentleman said this. He said, that guy out in Las Vegas just absolutely baffles me. Why did that guy do that? Why does someone go up into the 30th story of a building and open fire on a crowd of people for no apparent reason? And I wanted so bad, and I almost did it. He wouldn't quit talking. I wanted to say to him, sir, I know why he did it. He had no hope. He had no hope. You think about the people that you work with and family members who do not truly know Jesus Christ. They have no hope. There's nothing for the future. There's nothing beyond this life. And if you look at life in its entirety, I got to tell you, it's pretty depressing. You're going to get up and go to work every day. Teenager, someday that's going to be you. Think about this. I want to cheer you up and give you a great scope of life. You're going to get up every day. Some of you, 5 o'clock in the morning. There are 2 5 o'clocks in the day. Did you know that? There are 2 5 o'clocks. There's a 5 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the evening. The sun gradually comes up. It's not just boom in the sky when you wake up. It's amazing. I didn't know that for a long time. You're going to get up and you're going to drive, if you live in this area, in traffic for an hour, maybe an hour and a half to go to work. You're going to work. People are going to demand so much of you. And you're not going to feel a great reward in your job, but you need the paycheck. And you're going to try to climb a ladder. And most of you will have a difficulty because of your sex or your background or whatever. And so you're going to do that. And you're going to do that for about 50, 60 years of your life. And then you're going to die. Thank you. God bless you. Father, thank you. No, that's not it. So that's not much of a life. That's what the world has. And they're trying to get all of this world they can because they figured I've got 70, maybe 80 years of life and I've got to live all I can. And once I'm done, that's it. Whereas Christians, we say, that's just the beginning. We get to that end of life. And it always puzzled me, young people, when people get to be a little bit older and you'll hear a grandmother or grandfather or great-grandmother, grandfather, and they'll say, I just want to die and go to heaven. I think, what? You want to die? Why would you want to die? Because they realize that life begins at death for the Christian. That's our hope of eternal life. That's what we're really living for. This time span that we have is just a filler till we get to eternity. So they have no hope. Those who have Jesus Christ and have the right spirit have a hope. Whose ghost have you got? John wrote, there are many false prophets that are going into the world. Many false prophets. Who are those false prophets? Who are those that are not right? Who are those that are preaching the wrong gospel? I'll ask you that in just a moment. I would ask this morning, who are you listening to? Who is your teacher? Who is your spiritual guide? Most people today have one. They have one. They simply go by what feels right. What feels right. I saw a license plate the other day, and it said, I saw the Catholic symbol. They had the rosary hanging on the mirror in the car, and the license plate was Our Lady. Our Lady. I'm assuming they're talking about Mary. Their hope is in Mary. They're going on the feeling of Mary. Mary, the Mother of God. And their concentration's on Mary. That's not the Savior. That's not the hope. That's not what's going to do it. They think, well, I can go to Mary the mother and she's got to tell the son what to do. That's not how it works. She was a good woman, a godly woman. Praise the Lord for Mary. But I'm sure in heaven she cringes every time that the Catholic Church pronounces that she's the Savior. No, she had a Savior, Jesus, her son. They go by feeling. There are many today who say, well, I'm going to be a Buddhist because it feels good. I'm going to be an atheist because it feels good. Atheism is a religion. Evolution is a religion. You understand that? I've said this to our church, and I think this will make sense to you. Most of us today would understand. I'm 54 years of age. The whole thought of evolution and the teaching of evolution did really not really begin in Canada, at least, until I was about 12, 13 years of age. We heard about it and they began to talk about it in school. But today it is overwhelming. I mean, everywhere you go, everything you hear is about evolution. We went to the Smithsonian the other day. Evolution, evolution. All the teachers, evolution. And then the idea that if you didn't believe in evolution, you're a loser. You're uneducated. The educated people tell us that evolution is correct. Well, my Bible tells me that it's not evolution, it's God. And here's why I believe America and Canada are not what they once were spiritually, preacher. Evolution. There was a time when the majority of the crowd believed there was a God. And they read the Bible to know that God. And the majority of our countries today do not believe there is a God because they've been told from infancy, evolution, evolution. We just evolved. We came about. We are our own gods. And evolution is a religion because it's based on faith. Evolutionists do not know where we came from. They are still trying to find out. Man said at the Smithsonian, we don't have science because of what we know. We have science because of what we don't know. They don't know where they came from. You'll baffle any brilliant mind if you ask this question. Where did the gases come from that brought about the evolution of the world? They don't know. They don't have an answer. We have an answer. That's why we have a hope. That's why we have a peace. We know our beginning. Everybody wants to know their beginning. Adoptive people often want to know their birth parents. They want to know where they came from. And this world doesn't know where it's come from. And it doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing here. And it doesn't know where it's going when they're done. We do. We do. Spiritual lives built on emotion are never stable. They're never sure, and they are never satisfying. There are other people that are meeting throughout this area today in a worship service that's going to energize them. It's going to be positive. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to tell them, God loves you. Do what you want. Just love God. Love Jesus. Thank you for coming. And for a while, that's going to satisfy. But when you hear the doctor say you've got cancer, that's not going to satisfy. And when the banker says, we're going to repossess your home, that's not going to satisfy. And when your spouse says, I'm leaving, that's not going to satisfy. And when your kids come and say, I'm mixed up and I don't know what to do and I don't know where to turn and I'm going to search out something that's not good, that's not going to satisfy. What we have, based in churches like this, is something that ultimately satisfies and helps us through those times. The Holy Ghost comes by way of salvation. The Holy Ghost will have a very real presence in your life and will move you through prayer and Bible study, through preaching, through personal experience. Now, here's the key. Get this, all right? Get this. If you get nothing else, get this. The Holy Spirit will never, ever conflict or contradict God's holy word. Never. You got that? So young people, when someone says, hey, God made all herbs and plants, and God gave them to us to enjoy in our lives. So go ahead and use whatever God has made. Does not give us the freedom to use marijuana. You kind of snicker at that, but I'll tell you this. I've had young people already ask me, is it okay? Is it okay? I cannot believe, and I don't know where you stand. I know where your preacher is. I don't know where you stand, but I'll tell you, the movement to socially drink alcohol in churches today is unbelievable to me. I was raised as a kid that alcohol was not of this world of Christianity. It was of this world of sin. You don't drink. You don't have anything to do with it. You don't touch it. You abstain from it. I have a grandfather who died a miserable drunkard, an abusive man, hated by my mother, grieved by my grandmother. I want nothing to do with it. I don't need it. I got Christ. Why do I need to socially drink? Why do I have to have that in my life to relax? I've heard Christians say, well, it just relaxes me. So does reading the Bible and praying and listening to some great music and just having some great fellowship. Why wouldn't we use those things? I don't need it. Drugs is sweeping. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never, ever contradict or conflict God's word. Here's the second thing. Whose God have you got? Pretty simple test. Verses 2 and 3. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God. Now be careful, because there are many who imitate the truth. They will use those words. If you go to a Catholic church, they'll say, oh yes, Jesus is the Savior. If you go to a Jehovah's Witness gathering, Jesus is the Savior. If you go to a Mormon's, Jesus is the Savior. But we know they don't believe like we believe. We know that. They use the terms, they use the name, but they don't have the same. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's true. Jesus is not God in the flesh. That's false. Simple test. So let's put it to test. Do the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh? No, they believe Jesus became a God. He was a good man. He was ordained of God. But he became a God, and you can become a God like Jesus if you'll live the Mormon life. Islamists. Islam is growing in our countries. We are seeing people from Muslim nations move in the droves. We are bringing into Canada 250,000 immigrants a year, which is a large number for a country our size. And a majority of them are coming from Islamist countries. I am not a prejudiced man. I invite them to come. If in our country we still have the freedom to introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're losing that in our country. You say, I want to convert a Muslim person. Oh, you're a hater. You're hateful. You're discriminating against them. No, I want to introduce them to what's changed my life. I would think in part the reason that people come to our countries and immigrate to our countries is because they see what we have and possibly want what we have. Not just in the financial realm, but in the freedom of religion realm. So let's give it to them. What about Buddhists? What about Sikhs? What about the atheists? What about the evolutionists? None of those would declare that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, the hope of the soul, the rest of eternal life. My Bible reads in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God with us. He's God in the flesh. He is our Savior. Jesus was God in the flesh and dwelling amongst us. If what you believe and who you believe doesn't say that, you got the wrong ghost. You've got the wrong ghost. Here's the final thing. Who's greater have you got? Speaking to the saved, John wrote in verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God is great and greater than evil and the evil spirits of this world. What overcomes someone who gets into a 30-story building and begins spraying bullets? What's overcome that? What overcomes that? The Holy Spirit of God. If somebody could have got to that man and led him to Jesus Christ and cared for him by a shepherd's leading, there is a 99.9% chance that never would have happened. There is a chance that he could backslide. There is a chance that maybe he'd have some kind of mental disorder. Those can happen even amongst Christians. But the better part of Christianity does not have thought of doing that. Especially as Baptists, Baptists have never been a warring people. We have never forced people to have the gospel. We've always given the gospel. We've always invited to the gospel. Our God is a gracious God. Our God is not a God of force. He's not a God that says either you kill the infidel or you won't have a place in heaven. He doesn't say that. He says, you bring them to me. You invite them to me. We say to people, I saved so-and-so. No, we led so-and-so to Jesus Christ. And they saw Christ and they saw the value of Christ. And they received Christ as their Savior by their choice. We also, as Baptists, understand that sometimes people will not choose God. They won't choose Christ. Some of your college professors, some of your co-workers, some of your family will reject Jesus Christ. That grips our hearts. But we understand that and accept that. We don't quit. We don't surrender. We keep trying. But we understand. Our God will triumph over Satan. In Revelation 19 and 20, Satan will be defeated. He'll be cast into a lake of fire. I want to tell you, I don't dance, but I'm going to dance in heaven. When that happens, I'm doing me a little, some kind of jig or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to break into my 70s moves. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's right. I'm staying alive. That's right. For eternity. But God's going to take him and cast him into a lake of fire. And I believe all of heaven will erupt. I believe creation will erupt into an applause, into a cheer, into a great anthem when that wicked, evil Satan is put away from us for all eternity. We can say no to his perverted notions and taunts and temptations. To do it, you will have to guard your music. Young people, can I tell you, I've preached to a lot of teenagers. I love teenagers. I love youth camps. I love youth revivals. I do a lot of preaching to young people. I'll tell you this, the number one downfall of young people is music. It's always been, it's always going to be, because the music industry is geared to you. They are writing music, they are performing music, they're doing videos of music to capture your attention. They get you young, so they've got you for a lifetime. Got you. When I was a teenager, my struggle was music. I was hooked on rock music. I was hooked on the music of our day. And boy, I'll tell you what, I still struggle with it sometimes. I hear it, and the thoughts go back. I hear it, and I remember the times. Guard your music. But I'll tell you this, it's not just you. It's you. We went to hear a Christian performer a couple weeks ago. I'm kind of ashamed to tell you now. I had no idea. Performer was coming to our area. I'd heard him sing. Tremendous voice. And I said, well, let's go and see. And we were a little cautious. We weren't 100% sure. And so we went and we got in there. And I should have known right away when I saw the fog machine. And the performer came in and began to sing, and all of a sudden the lights are going, and they're all over the place. And the music was just, it took me back. Some of you would remember some of the groups of the 70s and 80s that we listened to. I could have been at a Queen concert. I could have been at a Led Zeppelin concert. I could have been at a Pink Floyd concert. Some of you remember those names. The kids are like, what? And all the adults are like, yeah, I remember that. No, don't get that going now. Wipe that out of your mind. My wife and I sat through two songs and a young family in front of us got up and walked out. And I said to my wife, I'm going to wait one more just to see. Maybe he'll turn and sing around. Next song started, we got up and walked out. I went out in the hallway and I said, hey, God bless you. Thank you for taking a stand. We're out of here. He said, and the convener of the thing was there. And he said, see, we're not the only ones. And the guy said, was it too loud? I said, too loud? I said, do you really think Jesus Christ would stand on that platform and be pleased with that? Do you really think that brings honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ? And he just looked at me. Be careful. Even under the guise of Christ, there's some bad music. There's some stuff we ought not be listening to. If it's appealing solely to my flesh, it's not good for me. I heard your choir practice this morning. I'll tell you what, there's some music going to be sung in this place today that will lift your soul toward God. It wasn't a group of people saying, look at me, look at me. Hey, look what I got here. Look what I got. No, it's like, hey, let's just honor and glorify Jesus Christ. You're going to have to guard your eyes. You're going to have to guard your relationships. You're going to have to guard your mind. You ever think of this? I'll give you this thought and I'll close here in just a second. My father-in-law said this. Satan is the prince of the power of what? The air. What's going through the air right now? What's going through here? Cell phone waves, radio waves, television waves, All kinds of things going through the air. We can't see it. We don't think they're having any impact on us, but I wonder if it might be having some impact on us. I mean, all of those things are bouncing off of our head. And a lot of it's coming into our head. Guard your minds. Getting the right ghost, the Holy Ghost, begins with salvation and remains by trying every spirit with these types of questions. What does the Bible say? Young people, you have any question about anything in this world, what does the Bible say? If you can't find the answer, I know a man who can help you. I know people in this auditorium who can help you with that. What do strong, proven preachers say? Don't go to some of these guys today that just smile all the time and say, God loves you. Just feel good. You love God, you're going to be rich and famous and happy. Don't buy into that. Find a preacher that knows the book, has sweat over that book, has delivered that book. See what they say. Does what I want to do contradict God's word? If it does, we're done. Will what I want to do make me stronger and a better Christian? What is the harder thing to do? That's usually the right thing. Again, I love young people, so let me give you one thing. Our youth pastor, brilliant, been our youth pastor for 25 years as youth pastor. That's unheard of. Said this. When poised with the question of what to do, find out what the hardest thing to do is. That's usually the right thing. Should I take a stand in my school? People might laugh at me. It's probably the right thing to do. Should I carry my Bible into places and open it and read it at work? It'd be a hard thing to do. Right thing to do. Choose the right. This morning, I want to make sure you have the right ghost. Have you got the Holy Ghost? If you don't, you need to get saved. This morning we're going to give an invitation, and at the end of the invitation, I'm going to invite you to come and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you can't wait till then, and I hope you can't, would you come and see me right after this class? I'll be glad to take a Bible and show you how to get saved right now. It begins with the Holy Ghost in your life. You say, well, I come to church. That's not the Holy Ghost in your life. Well, my family's always been Christian. That's not the Holy Ghost in your life. Well, my family's been Baptist. That's not the Holy Ghost in your life. It's a time when you say, Holy Ghost, come into my life and save my soul. Give me the hope of eternal life. Help me to live for you, the Christian life, every day of my life. Then you got the right ghost. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this class. Bless the events to come in your precious name. Amen.